Well, it's 9, so let's call things to order. All right. So if all commissioners could unmute their microphones and let's have a roll call, please.
Yes, good morning. Christine, Commissioner Simpson-Spearman.
I'm here. Thank you.
Commissioner Avila.
Here.
And Commissioner Wyatt.
Here.
And Chair Shaw.
Here. All right, and let's have the flag salute, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and I will open the matter for public comment on items not listed on the agenda.
No request to speak.
Okay, seeing no request to speak, I will close public comment. And I will then bring us to planning staff and commission updates. First, we will have planning staff updates. Hi.
Good morning. Chair Schock and Commissioners, Eric Hughes, Planning and Building. Here to provide the commission with an update on recent Board of Supervisor actions of commission interest and just a preview of your upcoming schedule. So on February 25th, the last board hearing, the board approved amendments to the county general general plan and ordinance to update the cannabis violation correction period and the inland land use ordinance to update the Shandon habitat buffer. Those were the items that came before the commission was on January 23rd, and you had recommended approval. The board did make a motion to approve those amendments, and the motion passed with a vote of 4-0. And then that's it for board updates. The only other thing that from the last commission hearing, there was a request just on an update on the safe parking with the city of San Luis Obispo. And so after following up, it's actually a city program. So there is one site on Beth David Congregation, which is in the county, but because it's a city project, it's under city jurisdiction. And so the city's their position is that, you know, it's their jurisdiction and the county does not disagree with that. And so any permitting and all that will actually be through the city. So it's similar to like if the county has a property in city jurisdiction, you know, we are the permitting authority. So in this sense, the city is the permitting authority for that property. And then, so that's the update on that. And then as far as just upcoming Planning Commission hearings, the March 13th hearing has been canceled or will be canceled. There are no items scheduled. And then the next meeting would be March 27th. And currently there are no items scheduled, but if we do have any items, we will notify you as soon as possible. And that does it for staff updates. I'm available for questions. Thank you.
Does anyone have questions? Oh, go ahead.
Are you looking at me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Eric. A couple of questions. I just wanted to find out, follow up, whether the Shandon buffer item, did that language get changed after a conversation about how that buffer kind of language read? I didn't see that reflected in minutes, and I was just curious.
Commissioner Wyatt, I don't have an update on that. I can find out for you. As part of the motion, I didn't see as you mentioned, the changes to the ordinance, but I will look into that.
Okay, because I did have some concerns about that grandfathering kind of notion with the existing language. So I was curious where that landed. And then on the church site, the congregation, Beth David, so you're saying that permitting would kind of look like who's the lead on the Welcome Home Project in city limits that's counties?
Be the county. It's exactly similar to that.
Well, the county is the lead or the city is the lead?
The county is the lead.
But then in this case, even though it's within city, okay, so it's the reverse scenario then of out of city taking lead.
Correct.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, they seem to be deferring to county in the hearing, but so maybe that's changed as it's gone along then.
That's correct.
They've decided to take charge and good. Okay, thanks. I appreciate that update. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
And I know there were, I did have some other kind of process questions, but I don't know if someone else has them. I'll wait since I've already asked some questions.
Okay. Does anyone else have questions about the update?
Not on the updates.
Okay, then let's move to commissioner updates. And did you want to go?
Thank you so much. So you, commissioners and Eric, I was wanted to bring up just a couple of points for you guys to think about and see what your thoughts are. The first one is I have been thinking about ways that maybe we could capture ways that we could improve operations when we see them, or if an applicant has some recommendations for us on how we can do things better and how we can capture that and then talk about that at a certain point, maybe quarterly, if they are effective. So that's one point. And the second point, and Eric, this has to do with something that Erlyn did, I think, really well for us. And this had to do with both Erlyn and Susan for large projects, you know, gave us ample time to review the material. We had opportunities to come together and get more public comment on those projects. And that was very helpful because usually we only have a week to review the data that we have. And since we have some ordinance cleanups coming up, and I know my supervisor and I spoke about housing and the project you guys are doing on housing based off of the request of the supervisors, and that will come before us as well. I just would want to ask that to ensure that there's a way that we as commissioners have enough time to review that and also have an opportunity to have a couple of work meetings or whatever is necessary to ensure we have a multitude of time to get some public comment in. So those are two things, commissioners, that I was thinking about that wondered what your thoughts were.
Does anyone have thoughts?
Maybe, yes. So thanks for that. I'd really agree, and I'd hope we could look at scheduling in some kind of regular quarterly sessions. And whether we plan those as study sessions, which we've done quite often over the past years, to talk about very specific topics, such as ADU updates, for example. We're looking at a bundle of updates, we've been told, in April, but it may help us in advance to know just where we're at with ADU production well before we go into those updates. It's come up multiple times. I mean, I can't even count how many times as we look at ADUs that we don't really know updates on affordability levels and numbers of production and just where we're at exactly. So getting a better overall sense of that in the context of them being over half of our goals for affordable housing would be huge. So that could be done kind of separately from the updates and in advance in sort of a study session format, with a very specific general topic, but not talking about any specific project. And so there'd be study session on specific items that could be policy or process, but or updates. For example, it's come up, I don't understand the department's org chart. So when we look at workflows and process and who's doing what, a study session might just help us, or a very brief update on planning department organization. And so that would be maybe study session or just brief education for planning commissioners who don't know any of this and need to understand your departmental process and setup so we can understand what's doable and what's not. And then there's maybe some kind of strategic planning on process improvements or policy improvements. And those might be a little beyond study session, of a little more kind of strategic thinking and planning. And I can't say I quite understand how that would work between supervisors who are giving the department direction. But what I would roughly see that as being maybe coming together quarterly or every half year to kind of compile lists to discuss some items that we might like to see bumped up to supervisors for consideration of a list of recommendations or some such. A bunch of these items we're seeing over and over again and having the same questions and challenges on that you know, might be worth some thought where we could add some value and assist supervisors with some of those.
Commissioner Smearman, what do you, as far as the public comment, what do you think that's going to look like for getting more? What are you thinking on that? What's your thoughts on getting more public comment? Like, what's the framework idea you're thinking there?
Well, one thing that I noticed in the past when we do large projects and we do a study session, it enables us to actually have more public comment because at the end we also have public comment. So what I look at it is when we have projects, large projects that impact a large group of people, or we have what I would call ordinance cleanup or like the housing that affect everybody in some way or another, right? The more opportunity you have for public to comment, so we can kind of, or people in the business of housing or whoever that could add some value to those topics that we can then correlate here and bring up to the supervisors, I think is an effective tool. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. Not only does it help us as commissioners to understand the issue more, because we get to ask more questions and really dig in, but it also provides another opportunity for the public.
Okay, so I was taking notes on the suggestions, and it sounds like there's three, so I just want to be sure people are, that I got these down. That maybe we have a study session or an agenda item on process at some point, like process within the planning department, especially just so we all understand and the public understands as well. And then the second suggestion was just notating process and policy improvements, maybe as they come up at meetings, and then maybe discussing them twice a year as either an agenda item or study session. And then the third thing was when we have larger projects coming forward, that maybe we have just a separate study session on the project. And I remember that happening on larger. I mean, I know I watched one that happened on Dana Reserve, and then we did that. So, yeah, so I don't know if these are items we need to agendize, or how would that work?
Yes, Ben Dorth, County Council. So I saw that Mr. Hughes took notes on all of those items, so I think we can regroup offline and figure out how we can bring those back to you at a later date.
Okay. Does that?
Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. Thank you. So now we will move to the next item, which is the consent agenda. And I will take any, anyone have any preliminary comments on the consent agenda?
Yeah, one on the minutes here. I did want to pull those. On item five, that note about the ordinance and land use Title 22 cleanups for the Shannon buffer, we did add in some language to kind of change that, and it's moot now because we've already heard the supervisors voted on it, but that wasn't included in the minutes. So I
did pull up the staff report that the board considered, and uh-huh. It did indicate that for the Shannon habitat buffer that the commission provided direction to further clarify applicability of habitat buffer standards. So I don't know if that's the language you were.
So hopefully that got in there.
Yeah, Eric Hughes, Planning and Building. I did confirm with the planner that the language was changed to improve the clarity, and that was vetted with County Council prior to going to the board.
Thanks. I appreciate the follow-up there. I guess it's a little moot, but I would like to see that in our minutes. It's not included. It's just showing a kind of vote as is without those changes or that.
I can make the necessary revisions to reflect that.
So do we bring those back or approve those now? What's protocol there?
It's totally up to the commission if you'd like to see them revised and brought back, or you can just direct staff to make those revisions, and I think.
Okay, I'm comfortable with that, especially since it's already gone to the board.
Well, yeah, and first let me open then public comment on the consent agenda. Is there any public comment? No. Okay, seeing none, I'll close that. So it sounds like we need a motion to adopt the consent agenda, but Maybe you'd like to make that motion.
Yes, sure, I will. I'll move to adopt the consent agenda with the changes to item 5 in the minutes from January 23rd to reflect the discussion on changes to Title 22, Habitat Buffer.
Okay, I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Let's have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yep.
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
And Chair Shaw?
Yes. Okay, let's move into our first hearing, which is AnthemNet, request by AnthemNet and Verizon Wireless for a conditional use permit to allow the construction and operation of a new wireless broadband communications facility. And yeah, if the clerk could introduce the item and the project team.
Yes, so it's county file number N-DRC-2023-00028, and this project is with in Supervisorial District 4 with project manager Mason Denny.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Good morning. Chairperson Shaw, members of the commission. My name is Mason Denning with Slo County Planning and Building. This morning, I'll be presenting a request by AnthemNet on behalf of Verizon Wireless for a conditional use permit that will allow the construction and operation of a new wireless broadband facility. The proposed facility is an unmanned wireless communications facility that is disguised as a 125-foot tall faux pine tree. As seen on your screens, the wireless facility will consist of 9 panel antennas, 6 remote radio units, 2 microwave antenna, and associated equipment, cabinets, and hardware that will all be located within a 1,650 square foot lease area, which will be surrounded by an 8-foot tall concrete masonry enclosure. The facilities will include the ability to co-locate 2 additional carriers at some point in the future. The proposed project is located at 965 Hedrick Avenue, which is approximately 1/2 mile north of the community of Napomo and approximately 1/2 mile east of the Black Lake VRL. The parcel is located within the agricultural land use category. The approximate project area is denoted by a star near the northeast corner of the parcel, which is highlighted in red. Looking at the project with aerial imagery, please note that the project is in a section of the parcel that is not prime farmland and is not currently used for agricultural operations. This overall site plan shows the proposed project, again, is located on the north side of the parcel. The enlarged site plan provides an overview of the proposed project area, which is again outlined in red. Just northeast of that project area, you'll note that there's an existing water tank on site that has an existing cellular facility and equipment shelter. You'll note on this slide, there's also the inclusion of preliminary landscaping surrounding the proposed project area, including both shrubs and trees that help step up the landscaping to the proposed structures. Here's an expanded view of the proposed equipment area. Please note the location of the proposed faux pine tree is outlined in green. In the concrete pad housing that the equipment is located on is within a concrete block enclosure, which is outlined in red. In this slide, we're looking at the proposed eastern elevations. And in this slide, we're looking at the proposed western elevations. In these photo simulations, you're looking at the faux pine cellular facility viewed from Hedrick Avenue. There's a vicinity map located in the upper left of your screens. Just west of the project site is Hedrick Avenue, just south is Willow Road. This is specifically taken from Hedrick Avenue where the existing access to the parcel is located. And similar, here is the proposed facility as seen from further south at the intersection of Hedrick and Willow Road. Please note, you can also see the adjacent water tank with the existing cellular facility on that tank in both photo simulations adjacent to the proposed facility. And lastly, here's a proposed facility as seen further east along Willow Road near the access for the neighboring property that is east of this parcel. Here's a comparison of coverage maps that shows the existing coverage within the area with the facility both in operation and out of commission. Green represents an indoor signal, yellow is in vehicle, and red represents an outdoor signal. Please note the increase in coverage provided by the wireless proposed wireless facility if it is approved. It's also worth noting here that the coverage as exists on the right of your screens is potentially what is on site now, as again, there is an existing facility. It's worth noting that under the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996, the county's not permitted to consider the effects of radio frequency transmissions when evaluating a communications facility. However, staff does verify that the RF emissions meet applicable FCC standards for public exposure. Please note that this facility complies with those standards for public and occupational exposure pursuant to the RF technical report that is required and was submitted with the project. This project qualifies for a Class 3 categorical exemption pursuant to CEQA Guidelines Section 15303, new construction or conversion of small structures. In conclusion, staff is recommending approval of this conditional use permit based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. This concludes staff's presentation. Thank you. Should there be any additional questions, staff are happy to assist. Joining us today is the agent for the project, Franklin Orozco. And I believe there's also numerous RF engineers that are here on behalf of Verizon Wireless for the project.
Thank you. Before we open it up to public comment, does anyone have any initial questions for staff?
Is the existing facility being removed that's on the tank and this is replacing it?
Yeah, Commissioner Avila, that is correct. Throughout the county, at some point in the past, there was several like CSDs and water purveyors that have infrastructure located on both parcels they own and in lease areas. This is located within a lease area on that parcel. And what we're seeing in several instances is that the CSDs and water purveyors aren't necessarily renewing leases with the cellular facilities. And so this one will replace the existing facility that is located on the water tank.
Did you have a question?
Mm-hmm. Yep. One following up on that question. Do we know why those leases aren't getting renewed or why that change is happening?
We haven't received anything directly from the CSDs as staff, no.
I was just curious when you had noted that then. And kind of funny here, we're seeing an actual water tank where we're usually seeing these faux water towers. Mm-hmm. And now we have a tree next to the actual tank instead of the faux tanks.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, thanks. Ben, I think this is to you, and it's just more of a general question, and it has to do with the Telecommunications Act. And the term reasonable amount of time, how does the county actually, what does that mean to the county, reasonable amount of time?
Let me pull that language up. So,
you know what, if you need a little time to think about it and could just get back to me, whenever we get these telecommunication projects, I'm always curious about that.
Okay.
If you could just answer that for me later, I'd appreciate it.
I can definitely do that.
Yeah, and I just had a question. I saw in the packet that this went to the South County Advisory Body twice. If you could just go over, you know, the type of noticing that was done and how much opportunity the public had to assess this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Chairperson Shaw. So consistent with county ordinance, it was noticed to 300 feet within the surrounding area. It was referred to the South County Advisory Council through the county's typical referral process. It did go twice. The Land Use Committee for the South County Advisory Council had issues with the height on the original proposal. And the original proposal was a 145-foot tall eucalyptus tree. Staff worked with the applicant, and then the applicant worked with South County Advisory Council to change the design from a eucalyptus tree to a faux pine tree, but also reduce the height from 20 feet. The reason for that height is to get over the water tank that's on site. The water tank is approximately 90 foot tall, and it stands roughly between the proposed structure and Highway 101. So to get the antennas above that structure to not affect coverage goals, it needs to be higher. The South County Advisory Council did approve the revised project, which is 125 foot tall faux pine tree as presented today.
Okay, thank you.
And one other thing, I thought the distance was changed from 300 to 1,000 feet in terms of notification radius for telecommunication projects. Was this project already through the process before that change occurred?
Eric Hughes, Planning and Building. There haven't been any changes to the notification distance for telecommunications projects.
Okay. I thought that there was by the supervisors. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought Paulding presented that to the supervisors of a change from 300 to 1,000. Did I mistake
battery
that?
Storage.
Thank
battery
you. My mistake. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no other microphones, I will open this up to public comment.
And I believe the agent is here. Franklin Orozco.
Thank you. Good morning. Chair Shah, members of the Planning Commission. Franklin Orozco here on behalf of Anthem Net. I also have with me Pete Shubin, who's with Sequoia Development, representing Verizon, and Josh Elrich. He is a radio engineer. So if you have any questions related to that, they're here to help me with the presentation as well. We appreciate this opportunity to bring this project before you. Thank you, you know, for the staff and working with us on the design requirements, as well as the South Advisory Council meeting. As I mentioned, we've been actually three times. The very first time, it was more of an informal meeting with them just to kind of get an idea as to what they will feel like about the project. We brought before them basically an undisguised project at the time. We thought at the time that would blend a little bit better with the water tank. However, the advisory council did want us to provide them with a disguised tree. So that's the result that you have here. We work with them in terms of the height. We work with the radio engineers as well to make sure that that height would be appropriate to be able to maintain the level of coverage that the current site has. It is scheduled to be removed in 2026 when the lease no longer will be applicable. And my understanding is that, yeah, for operational reasons, the water facility of the district is actually not renewing those leases, and that's the reason for that. Again, we're here to respond to any questions you may have. We appreciate it. We read the staff report and conditions of approval, and we're all consistent with that. So we appreciate the time, and we hope to have your approval.
Thank you for those comments. Does anyone have any quick questions while the applicant's at the mic?
You guys lowered the height. Is this Verizon going to be hanging at the top of the structure? Is that the intent?
Yes.
So if it's a co-locate system, is that going to leave enough adequate height for people to co-locate and still get a sector that will shoot out towards the 101? Or are you going to have to go for an extension down the road?
That is a good question. We do have a little bit of leeway in that height to be able to at least have for the second co-location facility there. However, it is different from carrier to carrier, so we don't necessarily know whether their design would necessarily need to have a certain coverage along the 101. I know that some carriers may already have a certain coverage for that location, so that may not be the focus. It may be the focus more towards their network connecting towards the west where the residential development is.
Question?
Also interested in co-location since our ordinance wants it. And again, can you help us understand a little better why the CSDs or the water purveyors are not renewing these contracts? I think they'd be fairly lucrative. And so in terms of maintenance issues, are you seeing, or can you give us a better sense of that, just because we're losing this opportunity to have these facilities jointly located on tanks?
Yeah, that is correct. I believe that is one of the reasons why they are no longer renewing leases, is because of the maintenance of the tanks themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, as we go through the process, we need to remove the antennas that are there, have a temporary structure I'm sure there are other reasons, but I know that that's one of the reasons that.
So would you expect we're going to see more of these then, that we need new towers to replace existing facilities on tanks, or that this may be a widespread issue?
If they're not renewing leases, then that needs to be an alternative location for those antennas to be able to either maintain the coverage that they currently have.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, seeing nothing else from my co-folks up here, why don't we open public comment?
We haven't received any requests to speak for this item.
Okay, so we'll then close public comment and let's see, we'll have deliberations. I know Anne had suggested whoever's district it's in should kick it off, so I'll just kick it off because it's in my district by thanking the South County Advisory Body for their work on this and giving the public three opportunities to come and weigh in. And I want to thank staff for all the noticing and meeting those requirements. So I'm comfortable moving forward. Also, just to always note in this situation, if the way these laws are written, it doesn't give us always a ton of leeway. So I do appreciate everyone working together before they got here. So yes, I'm comfortable with the project, but would like to hear from everyone else.
I agree with you, Marianne. Unless anybody else has any comments, I'd be ready to move for a motion.
I'm comfortable too. I'd also like to chime in. I'm really glad when it gets here to see that the process has worked, that the applicant has met with the advisory council and made some changes in advance of this point. So it's refreshing to hear. And I'd like to thank you, Mason, for putting the coverage maps side by side so I can tell the difference for the first time. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Then I'll make a motion. Motion to approve conditional use permit NDRC 2023-0028 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yeah.
Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
And Chair Shaw?
Yes. Okay, thank you all. Next up, we have a hearing to consider a request by Richard Holzer for a variance to allow grading on slopes in excess of 30% for the construction of a one-story, 3,095-square-foot single-family residence, a 1,072-square-foot three-car garage, a 602-square-foot covered porch, and a 1,465-square-foot deck. And if I could have our clerk formally introduce this item and staff.
Sure, thank you. County file number N-DRC 2024-00017. This is in Supervisorial District 4 and Project Manager Andy Knighton with supporting help from Cheryl Koo, Supervising Planner.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Good morning, Chairperson Shaw and members of the Commission. My name is Andy Knighton, Project Manager with the County, and today I will be presenting an overview of the proposed variance request. The project before you today is a request by Richard Holzer for a variance to allow grading on slopes in excess of 30% for the construction of a single-family residence and attached garage. The project will result in approximately 0.64 acres of site disturbance on the 2.08-acre parcel. The proposed project is located on Camino Purisima, approximately 4.3 miles northeast of the city of Oro Grande. The site is in the Huazna Lopez sub-area of the South County Planning Area. The parcel is located within the agricultural land use category. The parcel was created by an agricultural cluster subdivision. Per the approved map, this parcel is intended to accommodate a single-family residence, and adjacent land uses are also agriculture. Here is a view of the parcel with aerial imagery. You will see that the site is currently undeveloped and there is a single family residence on the adjacent parcel to the east. This slide has a photo of the site from Lopez Drive. The site is located downslope and on the opposite side of a ridgeline from this public viewing area. The location of the project site prevents the grading and potential hill scarring and the proposed residence from being visible from Lopez Drive. Take note of how the adjacent existing residence to the left is not visible beyond the ridgeline. This slide shows the site plan for the proposed residence and garage. And this slide has the elevations for the proposed residence. The variance request is required due to the grading on slopes in excess of 30%. This slide shows the existing topography. The red areas on the map are areas with slopes over 30%. You will find that the site is downsloping from north to south. In accordance with Land Use Ordinance Section 22.62.070, the Planning Commission may approve a variance subject to the listed findings. The project complies with the first finding because without this variance, this legal lot and others in the neighborhood exceeding a 30% slope cannot be developed. The second finding can be made because, as previously shown in the slope map, 30% slopes are scattered throughout much of the site. The site would be impossible to develop without the request for a variance to grade on slopes exceeding 30%. Additionally, the Las Ventanas Ranch covenants, conditions, and restrictions require the residence to be a minimum of 3,000 square feet. The third finding can be made because this variance request would allow grading associated with the development of a single-family residence, which is an allowed use in the residential single-family land use category per the allowable land use table in Chapter 6 of the Land Use Ordinance, Title 22. The last finding can be made because an engineering geology investigation and soils report were prepared to evaluate site characteristics and plan for appropriate residential design, engineering, and development of the site. The recommendations from the reports are included as conditions of approval for the proposed project and will be incorporated into the future grading and construction plans, as well as implemented throughout the future building inspection process. Based on staff analysis, along with the findings and conditions of approval, staff recommends the commission find that the previously certified environmental impact report prepared for the Biddle Ranch subdivision and addendum is adequate for the purposes of compliance with CEQA, and approve variance N-DRC 2024-00017 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. This concludes staff's presentation of the project, and planning staffs and the project's agent, Pam Giardini, are available to respond to any questions the commission may have. Thank you.
Does anyone have initial questions for staff?
Is the grading going to result in a balance of material, or is there going to be offfall?
Sorry, I don't have the grading plans up. Just give me a second and I'll pull them up real quick.
Yeah.
According to the project's agent, it will be balanced. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, going back and up a little, do you happen to know how it is we've come to this situation where we have a 2-acre ag parcel that's 93% slopes, 30% or greater? How does that happen? We're basically forced to have a variance in non-ag development here. Do you know the history?
Thank you. Yeah, that's a great question. Cheryl Koo from Planning. So this is a map that was recorded in, I believe, 2002. And it was an ag cluster, so we do have a property with a building envelope. There is a small portion that doesn't have the 30% slopes. So with no disrespect to the planners in 2002, possibly, there wasn't quite enough analysis of the individual lot in this case. A much smaller home could probably fit. However, as I think Andy mentioned, there's actually a requirement from the homeowners association of a particular lot size. So this owner is very stuck at this point.
Thanks.
Any other question? I had just a couple preliminary. I may have missed it in the staff report, but I didn't see that this went to any sort of advisory body. Is that just because this area doesn't really have one?
That's correct. This is not in the purview of any advisory councils.
Okay. All right. And then this may be something that the applicant can address, but I'm sure our commissioners will have a question as to why an ADU was not included here in the plan. So maybe that's something more for the applicant. Okay. Thank you so much for the report. And now I will open it up for public comment. And I see the applicant's agent coming forward.
Good morning, commissioners. I do have a really short, only three slides, can you believe that, presentation. Just to answer kind of a question that Cheryl did answer. So lot 87, which is highlighted in red, is the specific lot that we're talking about today. These lots were created through a previous agricultural agricultural cluster called the Biddle Ranch. And at the time that the environmental review went through, there's a few lots, very few in this ag cluster subdivision, that exceed 30% slope. We were the first ones, I think, to come in with that situation. And so that's why we had to do an addendum to the previous CEQA document. Oops, next slide. I don't have the clicker here. The other question that you had on both lot coverage. On the right-hand side, you can see where there's a hammerhead turnaround on lot 87 that was required by fire department. So it eats into the lot's flat area. And then if on the left-hand side, you can see lot 87, the dashed line represents the buildable site area, and it's all on or below, you'll see in the next slide, it's all on 30% slope or greater. For the next slide, and Andy showed you this slide. However, what I wanted to point out was all the land below the red mark going down the hillside is 30% or greater. So the house is really located in the flattest part we could locate it. Most of the disturbance in the red area is because of the deck. When you put in the pillars for the footing, you have to, even though it's just a small area, you still have to smooth out the grades, and so because it causes disturbance there. The actual house isn't, it's in a little bit of 30%, and then the other part was for the septic system. It was the flattest place we could locate it. As far as the ADU, I don't know, because you have a residence that's required to be 3,000 square feet, and then to put an ADU in it would require even more disturbance of the site and on steeper slopes. So kind of answer your questions on that. That's really all I have to say. I'm here to answer any other questions that you might have.
Could you state your name for the record, too?
Oh, sure. Sorry. Pamela Giardini, and I'm the agent for the applicant, Mr. Richard Holzer.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have questions? Okay, thank you so much for
thank
that
you.
Presentation. Okay. So with that, we will close the public comment. There's no other public comment?
No.
Okay. And okay, I will invite commissioners' deliberations. You know, again, I guess this one's in my district also. It's a large area. So I you know, it seems like it fits with the standards. And just to double verify, neighbors have been noticed, if, I mean, the one apparent neighbor. You know, unfortunate, we always, this is not the type of housing we need to see for our RENA numbers, I'm sure. So it would have been great to see an ADU, but I do understand the predicament. So, you know, with that, unless my other commissioners bring up other points, I don't have an issue with it, but I'd like to hear what others think.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I went through this process myself with a variance, and that can be very challenging. It's expensive and timely, but I think this parcel, it has a lot of complications to it, and I'm sure as a planner and also as an applicant, it was challenging to work through a lot of that. So it looked like there was due diligence done, and so I would move for a motion unless anybody else has any other comments or discussion.
Just a comment. I'm going to support this, but I'm challenged by it. I'd like us not to be put in this position where we have parcels that basically we created that require a variance, and we have codes, you know, not wanting to build on more than 30% slopes for a reason. But with these interesting conditions where the homeowners requires the home of a certain size and this parcel having been created, you know, here we are. So I hope we can look up, and as we're, you know, looking at subdivisions, we can, you know, think about this problem and preclude it in the future. But I'd support a motion to approve this.
Agree with your comments, Anne. Absolutely. So with that, I'll make the motion to approve conditional use permit NDRC 2023. I'm on the wrong one. Forgive me. Would you help me?
Screen? Oh, I don't have it up either. So if you could put it up on the screen, once somebody will have it.
There we go. I apologize.
Who finds it first?
All right, I apologize. Okay, make a recommendation to adopt the addendum to the Environmental Impact Report in compliance with California Environmental Quality Act, pursuant to sections 15.16.4a and 15.16.2, and also to approve variance NDRC 2024-00017 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yeah.
Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
And Chair Shaw?
Yes. Okay, with that being said, I will entertain a motion to take all testimony and correspondence into the record.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And then if there's a motion to adjourn to the next regularly scheduled meeting?
Yes. So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yep. Aye. All right. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.